Welcome to another episode of Raven Conversations. I'm Joe C. Mandel, State Public Affairs Officer for the Washington National Guard. And today I'm joined by good friend, Captain Taylor Payne. He's the commander over at HHC, 1st Battalion, 168th General Support Aviation. You're also the ops officer at ASF number 2, and you'll soon be the facilities commander as we move into the Wenatchee area out of Fairchild. He's here today to talk to us about his military career, his family's military career, your work with SPP, and then and a little bit about what you've done with NJW Nagus, being involved in that. And I'd be remiss to mention he was also our 2023 National Guard Bureau Soldier of the Year for Washington. So we are so happy you're here to join us and talk to us.
Yeah, and I'm more than happy to be part of this podcast. I've watched a couple of them, the last one with Steve Valletta, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, so, intro background on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a Washington native my entire life. Family's from Ohio and Florida area, and so I was fortunate to get out of the Ohio area. No offense, Ohioans, I'm Buckeye fan all the way. So born here in Tacoma, Washington. I lived in Faircrest, UP the entire time. Went to Curtis High School, and then over in Central Washington, I went to college for 6 years. And we'll get into military service later. I think in a later question, but. I joined 2011, enlisted, and then continued for my 4 years undergrad for law and justice criminology, and then 2 years as my master's at the Washington National Guard paid for as a scholarship. So that was most of my time and career has been in military. So before that has just been, general high school, college interactions. Yeah. So not a whole lot.
So how'd you learn about the Guard?
Yeah. Other than, recruiters coming to schools, college, universities, Central Washington has a massive, they were like the number one rated ROTC for a couple years in the past. They went to, Sandhurst.
You can all appreciate that from our class.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Because, there was Sandhurst competition, went all the way up to West Point, totally, absolutely destroyed the competition. And so they had a full integration on both sides of the cadre of National Guard and active duty reserves, they had the whole gamut, and not one of them was less than the other. They were all at the front lines of you should do any one of these, because we have commanders, officers, enlisted that are cadre that can more than happily speak on any of these branches, any of these topics, and they were just good leaders that influenced me into what I wanted to do with active duty. I heard a lot of burnout stories from past friends and family and whatnot, and I saw the Guard as a way of not only giving back to the state and the area, the localized area that I was a part of with fires, counter drug missions, everything that we do as individualized for the State Guard, and that was a greater sense of pride for me than going to some random state and training for whatever, at least 17-year-old Taylor Payne. So I found great glorification in that aspect. So I guess bottom line up front, learn from the Guard, from past family, and also college for all the cadre and recruiters there.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned family, and that was a big part of why I wanted you to join us. So we're going through the packets, and we send them up to NGB, and they look at them. And yours kind of stuck out to me. Service in your family has a pretty long line all the way to the Civil War.
It's a Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War, even. There we go. Yeah. So I'd love you to kind of share that and kind of how it led to your service.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you stated, long lineage of pains in the services, all the way back to the Revolutionary War. I think we had a 13-year-old drummer boy, which is crazy. And then moving into the Civil War, my dad, he's also military, now retired, so he's gotten into, finding the hobbies of retirement, and one of those has been digging, deep diving into our past lineage of military career and history. And so from the Revolutionary War, we had the Civil War. He was like a 32-year-old shoemaker, volunteer infantryman that survived Gettysburg, and I think another one. We're still doing some research a long time ago, obviously. And then from that point, every major conflict, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, all of the ones we've had multiple people at the minimum in each of the services and all these engagements. And so I like to say that I did it kind of on my own regard of joining, but there is, that inherent level of legacy and lineage of my family name of serving, you know, the United States, the military, Army, Marines, Air Force. We were in all of them. To recently, my biggest influence, obviously, my dad, was over 30 years, started in the Army, went all around the world, and then joined the Air Force shortly after, did C-17s, or worked, was a senior loadmaster on C-17s. And that's kind of where I got the crux of my influence in, you know, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. I mean, there's like pictures of me in his like old BDUs, Halloween dress up as soldier, as you know, we probably all did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was, yeah, that was the full lineage and package of the Payne line of military. It was just, it's awesome to see and kind of an honor to you know, lead that torch in the next side. And I believe, other than one person, I was the first officer side. It was all had been enlisted previous to me. So I kind of went to the dark side a little bit.
Kind of starting your own path.
I did.
And everybody after you will be an officer.
Yeah, so. 100%.
So, I mean, that you kind of already mentioned your dad was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what drew you to aviation on the Army side?
Yeah, so I... Well, when I started out, I was on the ground side as a 19 Delta, and I kind of didn't really know what I wanted to do in the military. I just knew I wanted to serve. And my dad, I would go on like his last Finney flight, the last flight of his career on C-17. We did low levels. It was an awesome experience. And I, being surrounded, as you had mentioned, with aviation, definitely... I would say definitely grew on me in a subconscious, you know, way of thinking. And so when it finally came time to me choosing a branch on the commission side, I was like, I could do aviation. I think it'd be a great door of opportunities on the civilian, on, you know, exactly what the M-Day soldier has in all fields. And the job set, what we do that I now learn later in the career has been, you know, phenomenal. So, yeah, from my parents or my dad being aviation, as well as my uncle was also in the Air Force as well, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of helped you with your civilian job now.
Yeah.
I think we first met when you were over doing state airlift coordinator.
Yeah, yes.
Doing a ton of flights after I think you took over for Jameson Peters, who left that job. And
I did.
I mean, kind of, what's it? So you work over at the facility right now. You're going to be managing the facility in Wenatchee eventually. Mm-hmm. Kind of talk about that day to day. What does that look like, and how has your guard job helped in that kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. Aspect? So I have been fortunate to be put into positions where it is a massive networking opportunity. I mean, we always say right time, right place, right time, and that has been true for the positions. But I also like to say you have to be prepared to be, you know, ready to perform when in those right time, right places. And so with the AMR coordinator gig, I got on the technician side of the house, and I never knew what technicians were.
Yeah, none
like,
of us
at all. I knew like, yeah, they're kind of like that nebulous, like third party, like the warrant side for like, you know, ground people where they don't even see a warrant. They see a W-5 and they're like, what the heck is that? It's like a senior first lieutenant.
Yeah.
So it's, I started with the AMR side. Luckily, they gave me a job, it was about 4 years ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it led me to working with every unit, not just in the Washington Guard, but everybody. I mean, I don't want to sound pretentious for the aviation side of the house, but everybody loves using air assets to accomplish, you know, their med assessment, their tasks, whether it be the Coast Guard, the every branch and compo that you can think of. And with JBLM being central to, you know, 75th Ranger Regiment, 19th Group, a lot of the major muscle movers that use those assets, we were able to kind of broaden our scope and especially my view and network of what I knew to be the military. And then it helped assist going into, again, right time, right place. There was some movements happening on the leadership side of the house, and I was asked if I wanted to go to Wenatchee to kind of help facilitate that move logistics-wise that we've been currently working on to stand up that new facility from Spokane to Wenatchee with the Med and the Charlie 112 guys there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the networking piece, and I think that probably what led to Chief Burkhardt as he was walking out the door to retirement to you to take over really with, I think, Lieutenant Colonel
Gearing
left as well.
Correct.
Gave you the ability to take over the Thailand mission.
Yes.
Can you talk more about that and what you guys do in Thailand?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people probably know the big Army exercises, Cobra, Gold, Hunterman, Guardian, that we're currently in right now. But I hope I'm wrong in saying this, but a lot of people don't necessarily know the state partnership programs and the extent that it plays in, you know, deterrence in the Pacific, or for the 81st, they have Poland. Like you were saying, Mr. Burkhardt left. Colonel Gehring was on his way transitioning out. He had been the coordinator of the LNO for like the past 12 years. Mm-hmm. And he needed a successor, someone, you know, young coming in. And I was still a lieutenant at the time. And so he brought me, it was 2 years ago, on the first trip down to Bangkok and then Lopburi to work with the RTA. And our mission there is to work on and, you know, build and corroborate our TTPs for maintaining aircraft, the UH-60, they have 72s. They have a massive amount of aircraft. I think they have like 22 different types and frames, which is insane mm-hmm. on a maintenance standpoint from that, you know, geographical size. And also to ensure that the safety and suitability of their operations happen, because they've had, I wouldn't say major issues, but they've had some hangups on making sure that the aviation is putting the best foot forward on the maintenance and safety standpoint. And they use us to say, hey, look, this is what the U.S. is doing, and they're doing it well and successfully. And we want them to be able to share and broadcast that. But also in the same vein, since we are in a small man team, we go anywhere from 6 to 9 people. The overall umbrella, you know, it's nice. We can fix our aircraft all day, every time we go. But the important part that I have found specifically and through past IARs is the friendships and the ability to interact with their senior leadership and have that presence of the U.S. assisting them and helping mm-hmm. them. And soldiers on my team from any rank and level, they see a tangible outcome that is like a direct buy-in. So they come over with a set of skills that, you know, at AT we teach our soldiers, you know, whatever the basic tasks, level 10 tasks, and sometimes you're like, okay, well, we're just doing this to get to like the next evaluation. Yeah. But the soldiers that go over in this scenario, they see actual tangible outcomes and results from their actions that they have brought from their expertise in manhole to a completely foreign nation and country, making lifelong friends along the way. And so it's huge on our side for retention, incentive, and a good trip for that. But it's also a massive help for the interworking relationships of, you know, the foreign entities with that deterrence in the Pacific at a strategic level. Because Thailand, as we all know, yep. is a giant cesspool of every country's, you know, easily accessible to them with yeah. all of the major, you know, peer-to-peer entities that are named out there.
Yeah, and they come here often, too, for, mm-hmm. for training. Mm-hmm. We've covered them at the simulators over here, and mm-hmm. I know you guys are definitely trying to expand that, not just to Thailand, but them coming here to work with our folks at the facilities. Yeah. You also mentioned relationships, and I know Dan Westman's probably sitting there saying, say it. You're a big part of NGAW now. Mm-hmm. You've done the professional development thing, like myself, when mm-hmm. I was a captain. Talk about what you're doing with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, I got picked with another lieutenant back, it was a year and a half ago, for the Columbus one as the professional development lieutenant captain to go there and represent. And so that was my first experience being kind of integrated into that scene, and that, as we were talking about, that network ability on a mass scale of the who's mm-hmm. of all compos. And it was just an amazing experience to see. And so my first time there, Colonel Westman was like, just go there, be a sponge, absorb the network, see what we're about. And he truly guided the conversation of, I want you to experience this firsthand and you to be excited about this. I'm not going to force something down your throat that you don't believe in. And I know it sounds like, you know, propaganda, yeah. me saying that, but I truly do believe that, because I saw, again, I talked about with the partnership program, the tangible outcome of like the legislature team with Captain Barnett, of them working towards like goals that, you know, directly affect the soldiers, of the stuff that we asked for at a state level basis. And so past that first conference, we got into the state conferences where we talked more with, you know, local legislature, businesses to kind of fund that lobbying structure to go into the major national conferences and behind the scenes, because the conferences are, as we know, just, you know, a face of results yeah. of what has happened, the, you know, the nice to haves, the good on a storyboard and stuff like that. And the behind the scenes, the more important part that I think, like I said, Charles Burnett's been doing a phenomenal job. They just passed House Bill 1943, which yep. he gave me a little plug note, granted access to the the spouses and dependent children of Guard members, which is huge, and they're working on, from an aviation standpoint, the full flight pay bill, which has been a massive, you know, undertaking for a long time. So I see the benefit, and I'm continuing my side on the professional development team. Colonel Westman has talked, and we're looking to set up a chapter in Central Washington now with me going to Wenatchee. So we're moving widespread, and we're trying to get as much, you know, attention possible to push those bills that directly affect our soldiers.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, you know, hey, go to the conference, be a PD as a lieutenant colonel. Me saying that to a lieutenant, they're like, right, sure, I'll do it. As a captain, what would you say to another field grade officer, a company grade officer that's like interested in doing the professional development?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I'll keep stressing the network ability, because our roles and jobs, you can take it fortunately or unfortunately, as a commission side or any person in that organization, is to be able to, who you know, to get your point across, to be able to call back on those contacts for your normal M-Day side or your full-time side, to be able to operate more seamlessly and build those connections for your soldiers and yourself. So talking to another company grade or field grade, just from that standpoint alone, is monumental in the progression of, you know, your own personal growth and career, but the health of the organization in general, because we're working with the Air Force National Guard or the Air National Guard as well. And we talked about the big point of unity, of coming together and building those relationships. And that's what makes us the strongest of I mean, we work at JBLM Joint Base. And so why wouldn't we? So that I would say is kind of the crux. You see the tangible outcomes, you know, granted through the red tape of the legislation that we all know, but the direct network ability that you receive and the direct answers that you get from senior level leadership like General Hokensey and General Pappas, major people that you would never see in your entire life or even dream of. You just read about in, you know, the Daily Guard or any other magazine, and you're like, okay, well, that's nice that they said that. You don't have that face-to-face connection.
And then you see them you're actually talking to
you
them.
You do, yeah. It inspires you a little bit.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add before we kind of close out?
No, I think we talked about the last Wenatchee facility. We're hoping to do a ribbon cutting ceremony on June 22nd. It'll be a good opening for the public space, because it's not a military base. It's Wenatchee Airfield, and we want to make sure it is a tenant of the Guard, people, organization
come,
of the people.
Come see it and
come
learn
see
about
it,
it.
Public and house, and anybody's welcome and more than happy to have them. So
you're going to learn to fly UH-72s, imagine?
I'm going to learn how to fly UH-72s. Yeah, so, in August I go into school. So
there you go. So now I appreciate you coming on and joining us, and glad you could kind of share some of your Guard story and your military story. I think is huge. Like the family piece is just phenomenal. So if you're interested in learning more about Captain Payne's family, ask us a question in the comments. If you like the video, give it a like, and make sure to subscribe for future videos. Taylor, thanks for coming out, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, anytime.